This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Flying solo tonight, just me. Talk some NFL schedule here in the next segment, but I will start here with the NBA. We have a game seven, OKC and Denver. Denver wins game six, wins it pretty decisively, a very good fourth quarter, and we are set up for Sunday at 3:30 Eastern. This is a series that deserves a seventh game. It's been a really good series, a really competitive series. Number one and number two in terms of MVP. SGA is going to win it, but Jokic, we all know, is the best player in the world. It is OKC laying 8.5, total 212. And I'll just get to it. I like Denver plus the 8.5. I think ultimately OKC wins a tight game, but this series has just been a lot closer than the market has given it credit for, than these lines have given it credit for. Outside of the game two runaway where OKC basically beat them by 50 something points, Denver has covered in the other games. Denver's 5-1 against the spread. The games they lost came down to the wire. This could easily be a series where Denver's already won. Now, you could say just as easily, OKC should have won game four. They gave it away in just completely foolish fashion, and they should have won the series. So, evens out. We're 3-3. And like I mentioned, Denver, the last two games they lost, game four and game five. Game four, they're up 8 in the fourth quarter. Couldn't put it away. They're up 80-68 late third in game five. Couldn't put that away. And they're able to win game six. So there's just not that much of a difference between these two teams. Jokic is not just the best player in the series. Like I say, he's the best player in the world. And I think ultimately home court, depth, all of that. And you do get 2 days off in between here. You do get the 2 days off. And that does help Denver because they're the thinner team. And if they don't win here, it's just such malpractice to not put a better team around Jokic. Some of these supporting guys where you just can't get anything out of the bench. Second year in a row where Jokic has been let down. He just has to play so much and carry so much of the workload. And I do think that'll ultimately be the fate here. Now, never underestimate the heart of a champion is the saying, and Denver does have that. They were down 2-0 last year in Minnesota after losing both at home, rally to take the lead in that series before they coughed it up. They battled back against the Clippers when they were down 2-1 and everyone counted them down and out then. This is a gutty team. They came back in game one of this series. This is a really resilient team. That word gets thrown around a lot, but that is, I think, the proper description of them. I just think this will look like game four and game five, and they'll be in it. They'll have their moments, but they will probably ultimately fall short. But I'll take them plus the 8.5. I think this is anybody's game with 4 or 5 minutes to go, and OKC wins by 4 or 5, 6, who knows, free throws, but I will gladly take the points here with Denver. And like I said, I'm very happy this we get a seventh game. This was deserving a seventh game, and this does put pressure on OKC, and it'll lead into the next game with the Knicks and the Celtics. There is now a lot of pressure on the Thunder. They lost as a higher seed last year against Dallas in the 1-5. Bad performances late in games. In this series, they're up 3-2. They gave away game one. Now, they showed some toughness, really showed a lot of toughness in game four, in game five, and rallied back. But to win this many games, to win 68 games and to get knocked out, I'm not saying they will, but if that is the case, if you win 68 games and get knocked out in the second round, just like Cleveland, and this is worse because they won more games and they were even more dominant than Cleveland, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. It'll spark all sorts of conversations. Should they make a trade? Should they consolidate? Which those questions might be there anyway. But I was of the belief watching game number five when it was tied with 3-4 minutes to go, I had a strong feeling the winner of this game wins the series and probably wins the championship, especially with the shape that the East is in. I'll stick with that. I think OKC gets it done and does go on to beat Minnesota. I think that would probably be, and we can get there. We'll get there when we get there, but OKC would advance. I think OKC will win the championship if they win this game. And I think probably Denver, I think the winner of game seven wins the championship. So everything I said about game five probably applies here to a game seven, but OKC, big favorites. They've been huge favorites in all of these games here. The market really has a lot of respect for the regular season numbers of OKC, which are just off the charts. But as we've seen, playoffs are a little different animal, and they've been good, but they just haven't been quite as dominant. Game six, Knicks and Celtics. We'll see if we have another game seven. Boy, it'd be a fun weekend if we have two game sevens. Yankees and Mets should be fun this weekend. I haven't had a great feel for this series. It's been a wonky series. It's been a series, as we know, Boston's dominated for really large stretches, not just large stretches, basically the majority of it, where the three games they lost, they're up 20, 20, and 14, and not just like first or second quarter. They're up late in these games by huge, huge margins. But they're down 3-1 and now 3-2, and now their best player's hurt, but with their best player with Tatum out. And even though I picked the Knicks in game five, I did mention what gave me pause is, you know, sports can be funny sometimes. And the fact that they're down 3-1, everyone kicked dirt on them, their best player's out. Now they can almost, there's no pressure. Everyone expects us to lose. We're chokers. Tatum, sir, we have no shot. Almost freed them up. And I thought they played a really, really good game in game number five. Not just because they won. You can always say that about the team that won, played good. They played an exceptional, I thought, game. Their offense looked crisp. They got into things quickly. They were super efficient. Knicks looked out of sorts. And now the pressure turns because, like I said, Boston's without their best player. They're down 3-1. And you can poo-poo their path to the title last year, which I do think there's some fairness to. They won it. So if they lose this year, you know what? Okay. You move on and figure out when get Tatum back. They have a championship in their pocket, whatever you think of it. It's a championship. There are no asterisks with these things. The Knicks don't have that. Knicks were up 3-1, and they're facing a team without their best player. You got to break through. They blew the series last year against Indy. If you ever went to a Boston game seven, I know you can win there, and Boston hasn't been great at home, and home court hasn't been a lot in this series or the playoffs. A lot of pressure on the Knicks here in game six. Ultimately, I think Brunson gets them home and they move on. I don't think it'll be easy. I think Boston can just be fast and loose and they can just come in here without any pressure and play a good game. I just think Brunson, especially at home, will get a whistle, and he is, boy, overachiever. Great story. There's a lot to like about Brunson. He is constantly, constantly looking for the whistle. It's his whole MO. It's his whole goal in life is just to go to the free throw. I mean, you could just basically go sit in the stands. He's going to figure out a way to bump into you and try to go to the line for free throws. It's ridiculous. It's actually a turnoff. It's really too much, but he's a tremendous performer in the fourth quarter, and I think he will get them across the finish. I don't love laying 2.5. I'd probably just go money line. Not sure why. I think the 2.5, just, I don't know. I got a feeling the Knicks win. I think it'll be close. I don't love laying the 2.5, but yeah, chances are if they win, they're going to win by more than 2.5, but just would probably 140 money line, 2.5. I do think the Knicks advance here. So go with whatever you choose. I'm not going to sit here and act like I love it either way. Wouldn't be shocked if we had a game seven. Why wouldn't it be weird if Boston won this series? It would be very strange after the whole 24 hours of that Monday night with the lottery was weird anyway, because it was the lottery. It was Tatum getting hurt. Boston's done. And if you turn around 5 days later, they're in a game seven with their favorite. That would be a strange turn of events. I don't think it'll happen. But again, I've had very, very little feel for this series one way or another. The games have been wonky. The games Boston has been in control of, I just said they've let them slip away. It felt like Boston's the better team, but without Tatum, that obviously evens it out. So a strange series. And now that Tatum's not in the mix, it's even stranger. So exciting weekend. One game seven, maybe a second game seven. Then we'll get on to the conference finals. Quickly, the baseball, Yankees and Mets is always fun. Rodon against McGill Friday night. I like the fact that they're back to 3-3. Usually, at least the past few years, it was always 3-3, three at Yankee Stadium, three at Citi Field or Shea, whichever it was at the time. It's Citi Field now. It used to be Shea. 3-3 is great. These games have a lot of juice, a lot of intensity. There's a general disdain between the fans. There's animosity. The games are just exciting. I don't like interleague play as much now that the rules are all the same. It just doesn't feel like interleague play. It doesn't feel like something special. It used to be, especially because they do it every day now. It used to be just a couple weeks in June, a couple weeks in July, and it was new. It was special. It's lost that feel. But Yankees Mets is still good. There's a lot of energy. The crowds are great. This should be a lot of fun. Rodon laying minus $1.40 here. Rodon's a $1.42 favorite. Total is nine. I would look to go over with those two lineups. Ball should be flying out. Two really good lineups. Mets can hit. Yankees can hit. I'm sure Soto will get booed out of the building, which is understandable. But it's also, if you're Soto, it's a sign of respect. It's a sign they're not going to boo. Who's a middle reliever that they don't really care about that goes from the Yankees. I mean, even Clay Holmes, who's a good starter, they're not going to boo Clay Holmes. The booing is out of hurt. The booing is betrayal. The booing is jealousy. The booing is they do feel a little betrayed, but the booing is because he's such a great player. And I hate that he's on the Mets as a Yankee fan, but he did put them in the World Series. And that is a moment, that home run in Cleveland, 2-2, two out, that great at bat, the 3-run homer to send it over the fence and to send the Yankees to their first World Series in 15 years. And he's stomping around the bases. He stops midway down the front. I mean, that was just a great moment. And it's hard, as even if you're just so annoyed, and there are a lot of Yankee fans that just hate the idea that they lost their best player to the Mets, hate it. They look down on the Mets. They don't think the Mets is their equal, and now they steal Soto. That really, really bothers Yankee fans. You could tell, really bothers Yankee fans. It's hard to have that much animosity for Soto, considering how great he was his 1 year with the Yanks, how much fun he was to watch. And I still miss watching it. It's not the same watching the Yankees this year. Judge, and they're good on offense. Goldschmidt's giving them something. Rice, that was a nice win the other day in Seattle. But Judge and Soto was just pure magic. Right-handed, left-handed. Judge with the pure, I mean, it was just a perfect miss, as we talked about so many times last year. I miss it. I miss watching him. So he will be wearing the other uniform. I'm sure he will get booed, and he will get booed basically the rest of his career here for the Mets. So exciting weekend with the hoops. Baseball coming up next. Let's get into a little NFL. Let's get into a little NFL schedule. The schedule is out. It's trickled out, but now we have the whole thing. Let's look at some teams that are undervalued, overvalued, tough stretches. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Let's get into some NFL schedule. I'm not a big schedule reveal guy, and they've for whatever reason, these games tend to come out piece by piece. They just drop little breadcrumbs. By the time the schedule comes out, we pretty much know half the games, and it loses a lot of its luster again. Not that I in the middle of NBA playoffs and baseball season, I don't get all worked up in terms of like who's going to play week four or Monday Night Football. It doesn't interest me that much, but I do think it's important from a betting standpoint. Now, remember, we've known these matchups. These matchups get finalized as soon as the season ends. So we've known these matchups since a couple days into January. But the sequence does matter. The rest matters. How many primetime games you play, who's going to London, things like that. So this stuff does matter. And not just that, but tough sequence of games, tough cluster of games, especially early. And I'll get to a couple of teams here that jump out. The first one is the Giants. Now, I think they had a decent draft, and you never know with this stuff with the draft. It's just, watching these guys in college, the feedback from everybody else seems like they added some talent possibly with Dart, and they get Carter, the pass rusher. Scatabo in the later rounds, go on and on. Brighter days may be ahead at some point here for the Giants, especially if Dart's any good, which I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be in 2025, and I don't think it's going to be with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the GM and the coach. Look at the beginning of their schedule. Oh my goodness. At the Commanders, at the Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, toss-up game in New Orleans against the Saints, Eagles, at the Broncos, Eagles again, 49ers, Bears, Packers, Lions, Patriots are decent, Commanders again, Vikings. That is a brutal, brutal schedule. And I will preface all of this by saying it's sometimes foolish to sit here in May and June and spend all summer talking about these schedules. We talked about the schedule last year with the Steelers. Oh, it's a gauntlet. They can't win this or that. They're going to go under. I raised my hand. I thought they were going to go under. And they did struggle towards the end of their schedule, but they went over. They went over with some margin, with some breathing room. So keep that in mind. But that being said, barring them just being way better than you think and them coming out and beating Washington by two touchdowns week one, and all of a sudden, all right, Wilson's playing better, or whoever, they're just better than you think, and then you have to readjust all expectations. This is a long, long season for the Giants. To me, that has 2-6, 1-7 written all over it. Daboll is not going to be long for that job. And if you see odds for first coach fired, I'm sure it's a very short price on Daboll. But he is going to be on the hot seat. I think he's a good coach. From all indications, from all reports, he is not the easiest guy to get along with. He's tough. He's demanding. He's confrontational. All those things. He had the issues with Martindale, the defensive coordinator. But I think he's a pretty good coach. I actually think, even though it was smoke and mirrors that year one, they made the playoffs and won a game. He did some things. He got the most out of them. I think he can be a coach in the NFL. If I was another team and he gets fired, and if that is the case and the schedule plays out accordingly, I would be interested in Daboll as a coach. I think he's a solid coach, but doesn't look like it's going to work here for the Giants. So Giants under 5.5, I liked anyway, but to me, this schedule and the sequence and just how hard it is, I don't know that you could put any sequence together with how hard these games are, that they're going to be successful. So to me, Giants under 5.5 is a very good play. And I think I've talked about this before, but just seeing it on paper, seeing the order, seeing game after game, really stamps it, solidifies it. The other one that jumps out to me, a couple of them, San Francisco last year, all of the people who study the rest, not study the rest, it's pretty simple. You just add up the short weeks, the primetime games, said this was a nightmare for San Francisco, especially older team. They've been in the playoffs a million times, deep runs in the playoffs. The bad rest situation, the rest disadvantage combined with their age and all of the miles on them is a bad combination. And that played out. They got hurt. They looked old. They looked tired. This year, they have the easiest projected schedule in the league. And we had Aaron Schatz on a couple months ago, and he mentioned how everything points up for them. Schedule, turnovers, which regress, special teams, which regress. Everything points to the 49ers having a big season. They play. And that division's not that tough. Whatever you think of the Seahawks and the Cardinals, Rams, maybe you split those. You get the Titans, you get the Panthers, you get the Browns, the Jaguars, the 49ers. I don't know that Purdy, and I've been a Purdy fan, a Purdy guy, wasn't great last year. I don't know that he's good enough. I shouldn't say he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl. He was a couple of yards away from winning a Super Bowl. He's a first down away from winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I don't think he's good enough to carry a team to the Super Bowl. That team was pretty stacked. My opinion of Purdy has taken a slight hit. That being said, 11 win team, 12 win team, absolutely. I think that's absolutely in play with their schedule, and they're actually at a rest advantage this year. Adam Chernoff did some good stuff with this, adding up all the days here. They are +9 in the rest, bunch of teams off road games, so everything that went against them in terms of the rest last year goes in their favor this year, and that's a lot of talent. Now, Shanahan's not a great big game coach in a big spot. He will not come through in terms of when to go for it. He's very conservative. The Devontae Smith non-challenge a couple years ago in the NFC title, he's not great in a big spot, but day to day, week to week, he's a good play caller. He runs good offense. He gets a lot out of his talent. I think that's an 11-12 win team. So I like the over for the 49ers, and I don't have the guts to go under on the Chiefs. 49ers 10 and a half, by the way, the over is plus money. I don't have the guts to go under on the Chiefs just because it's Mahomes and it's Andy Reid. I don't have the guts to pick against them to win the division, I don't think. But at some point here, and they're at it again where they play on Thanksgiving and Christmas and they're in Brazil, they're on prime time. Everywhere you look, they're on prime time. And the same thing was last year and the year before. Eventually, this stuff catches up to you. Now, maybe Mahomes is so great that they're immune to this. Maybe. But remember, last year they won a bunch of close games, and not just like more than their fair share, a ridiculous amount of close games. And it didn't really catch up to them until the Super Bowl, where they got ran out of the building, obviously. It's just something to keep in mind with, is the rest of the team that great? The constantly playing on short weeks and prime time and the miles of playing in Super Bowl year after year. Again, maybe Mahomes is the deodorant to all of this, and all the rest disadvantages, all of those factors just go by the wayside because Mahomes is that great. Although the last couple of years, statistically, he has not been great, especially in the regular season. He turns it up a notch in the playoffs. He can run. He's got a different gear in the playoffs. But you haven't seen that, great statistical season in terms of the passing yards, the passing touchdowns. Haven't seen that in a few years, but just something to monitor here with the Chiefs, which just got no favors here with all of these games in terms of the holidays and prime time. They're milking the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a draw. They've got Mahomes. You either love them or you hate them. They're gonna put them on all these big time spots, and they're gonna, let's say, deal with it. Sorry for the inconvenience, and everybody that screams at the league rigs the season for the Chiefs and rigs the game for the Chiefs. Well, now they got dealt a bad hand again in terms of the schedule and the rest and having to play on short weeks. So keep an eye on the Chiefs. You look at the week one games, Dallas and Philly, the opener that Thursday night. 6.5, 7. It's about right. 6.5 looks a little light. I think I'm close. I think the 7's more accurate than the 6.5. I think if I had to, let's just say you can make the line, but you can't make it 7. Would you rather do 7.5 or 6.5 in terms of what's a fair line? I think probably 7.5. Of course, you're open for the back door, and it's dangerous to lay points. In week one in the NFL, it's always dangerous to lay points in the NFL. That's a good home crowd for Philly. It's a good home field. They're significantly better than Dallas. The 6.5, and there are some 6.5s out there. That looks a little light. That's the opener. Just going through some of these bigger games here. Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Tampa Lane, 1.5. There's a lot of games in these teaser range. 1.5, 2 points. A lot of these games are in that 1 to 2 point range where kind of hard to pick a winner, but you'd probably like to tease the dog up. That being said, week one, these numbers are not as sharp because we don't know as much about the teams. These numbers are more guesses than anything. Guesses. San Francisco at Seattle, Houston at the Rams. Rams laying 2.5. That's a decent game. Pittsburgh laying 3 at the Jets. That could be Rodgers versus the Jets. It will be Fields versus the Steelers. So possibly, former team scenarios in terms of that. Not a great game, but Tennessee at Denver. I thought that was a really tough draw for Tennessee with Ward. That's a tough place to play week one. That defense, and I think Denver's got a really good defense. I think Denver might have the best defense in the league because they were really good last year, and I think they got better. Go on the road, that environment, that defense, that's a tough spot for a rookie quarterback. Not that I love laying 7 with Denver, a team who's not great on offense, but that could be ugly there for Ward in his debut. Detroit at Green Bay, Detroit laying 1.5. That's a good game. Baltimore at Buffalo, the rematch of the playoffs where Andrews drops the ball. Buffalo laying 1.5. That's a fun one. And then you get Minnesota and Chicago. It should be McCarthy's debut. So still a ways to go. Still a ways to go. Still plenty of baseball season. Plenty of baseball season. We still got the NBA Finals, NHL Finals. But I always look at it like this. Once the NBA Finals end, middle of June, you got like 5, 6 weeks. And then you got the Hall of Fame game. And before you know it, college football week zero, NFL. So I'm excited for it. I'm in no rush to get it because I don't mind this time of the year with the NBA playoffs and spring and all the baseball. Not a bad time of the year, but 3.5 months, not that far away. I think in my head, it's like a football season. It's not for forever, but it'll be here before you know it, I would say. It'll be here relatively soon. And I don't miss it as much in May and June. I miss it in February. I miss it after right when it ends, when March Madness hasn't started yet. And it's just that lull. But once you're in May, June, sometimes in July, it could be a little, June, July, when the NBA ends, it's just baseball. That could be a little dry, and you're hoping for the football. You're really missing the football. But, in terms of just this time of the year, this is a good time of the year. So 3.5 months to the NFL season, these games will be here somewhat soon. So to me, Giants under 5.5, 49ers over 10.5, just based on the schedules. Those were the big takeaways. But that'll do it. Flying solo today. Fun to do a solo show. We'll be back Monday. We will have a game 7 to discuss. We will have our conference final set. And we will be that much closer to an NBA final. So rate, review, subscribe, goldboys.com. Check out the Discord. See you Monday.